Hey, what's up, everybody? Surprise, surprise. That's right. This is Rob T coming at you. And no, you don't got to check your phone and see what you're listening to. No, this is an episode of Brothers of Discussion Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Podcast. We decided we're going to do something different this week. Fanboy Dave can't be here today, but that's okay, because the subject matter we're going to talk about today, he's probably not going to want to talk about. But I did make a phone call. Well, text, really. I made a text to a very, very good friend of mine. I invited him to come out because he's a wrestling fan. He's a pro wrestling fan. He's a AEW fan, WWE fan. He's also a big nerd like me. Loves Star Wars. Oh my God, does he love Superman? But he is here with me today, and we're going to discuss a great subject. But before we get into it, let me just go ahead and introduce some ladies and gentlemen of the Brothers of Discussion Wrestling Podcast. All you listeners, please give a big warm welcome there in your car, wherever you're at, to Mr. Chris Castillo.
Hello.
What's up, my brother?
What's going on, brother?
I'm so glad you made it out today.
I did make it out today.
And from what you told me, we are popping the proverbial podcast cherry for you.
We are.
So you're saying I'm de-virginizing you right now?
You are, which is why I did not wear pants.
That's awesome, man. No, but listen, man, from the bottom of my heart, I'm really glad that you agreed to come on the show, because I really want to talk about the AEW pay-per-view that just passed this past Saturday. Full Gear, and it was quite the show. And let's be honest, if I talked about that subject with Fanboy Dave, all I'm going to get is hate. Just pure venomous hate, because he hates AEW. You listen to our podcast.
Oh, yeah, I listen to it every time y'all put it out.
And, yeah. I mean, he hates it.
Maybe he secretly loves it. He doesn't want to admit it, though.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
He follows Facebook and everything, so...
There we go. He's really a closet fan. That's what it is. So before we get into the subject, right, because I do want to talk the pay-per-view and everything, why don't you give us a little background for our listeners, because, you know, they've never met you. This is your first podcast, right?
Yes, sir.
So give us a little background. You know, tell us who you are, what you're about, and then once you do that, go ahead and give us some history. Why are you such a pro wrestling fan? So let's start from the top. Who are you? You know, what's a little bit about Chris?
Well, like I said, my name is Chris Castillo. I am a friend of Rob's, actually a bandmate of Rob's.
Yes, that is true.
Our country band. So if anybody don't believe Rob's in a country band, it's true.
Yes, he can vouch for me.
I can vouch for him.
And I don't suck too. That's the cool thing.
No, he doesn't. And like I said, I am a big nerd just like him. I am a fan of Star Wars. I am a big fan, as he said, of Superman. Huge fan. And of course, a pro wrestling fan as well. You know,
I think you're such a fan of Superman that if he was actually a real person and he like showed up in front of you, you would piss your little pants.
I would. I'm not gonna lie.
But no, that's great. That's great. But anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Well, like I said, I'm a pro wrestling fan. I've been a pro wrestling fan for several years now. Growing up, you know, in the 80s, I was born early 80s, watching, you know, Hulk Hogan, watching Ultimate Warrior, watching all the WWE greats of the day, back and forth when I was little. Because like I said, I'm a Superman fan, I'm a comic book fan, so pro wrestling kind of goes with that.
You know, yeah,
the elaborate
for sure.
characters and everything that come along with it, the stories, it's just like reading a comic book, really. Except you can see this in real life.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I kind of fell off of it in the early teens through high school. But I started working at HEB and Lockhart and happened to walk in the break room one day, and while I started watching WCW, it happened to be on the TV in the break room. Back when it was first starting, when Turner first took over.
Okay.
And started watching it and realizing, you know, this is right when Hulk Hogan went over from WWE.
Right.
Then WWF. And started watching it and then kind of got back into it with WWE shortly after that, you know. I really got really hardcore into it once the Austin era started.
So were you more of a... Which one did you watch more, WCW or WWE?
I guess if I had to choose one, probably WWE. Uh-huh. I did flip back and forth like old school people did.
I think we all did.
To, yeah. Know, Nitro and Thunder between Raw and SmackDown and stuff like that. So I watched both of them.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, during that time was a great time to be a wrestling
fan.
Oh,
for sure.
And I've been following it ever since, really.
And you make a very good statement there that back then it was a very good time to be a wrestling fan. But I got to tell you, I think we're in that time again.
I think so, too. I mean, because there's competition now out there, mainstream competition. You know, I know we've had TNA or Impact, what it is now, for a while now, but I don't think they've really been a competitor to WWE.
Right.
Whereas AEW has definitely, in the last couple of years, made a good headway of, you know, competing with WWE.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. And I think all it does, and this is what I can't get Fanboy Dave to understand. Like, I get it. He's a mark for WWE. That's fine. You can be a WWE mark, but to just kind of have that one-sided point of view and not see the good, because when you compare WWF back in the day to WCW, yeah, for sure, WWF was far better at a lot of times, but there was a lot of good going on with WCW. I mean, 83 weeks, they beat WWF. Now, granted, I get it. Right now, that's not technically happening, but it's not apples to apples either because, you know, Dynamite's on a Wednesday.
Right.
It's not on a Monday, you know, so you can't really do it apples to apples comparison, but to just totally disregard a promotion, you know, because you're just a fan of another, I think it's very, what's the word? You're just being very fake, in my opinion, you know, because it's like, okay, if you're a WWE fan, great, but there's talent there that was in WWE. Just because they go to this company,
right,
doesn't change their ability.
Right.
You know, I mean, Adam Cole, Miro, I mean, Bryan Danielson, they've all been killing it there, you know? And so, I don't know. And it's funny because we laugh about Fanboy Dave, you know, he's funny and everything with his views and all that. But reality, there are people out there that are exactly like him.
Right.
You know, and they feel the exact same way. And honestly, y'all just full of shit. I mean, that's my opinion, but yeah.
That's your opinion. You're about to say it. I just think that, you know, wrestlers that go from other promotions to WWE or back and forth, these guys started their craft somewhere, whether on the indie scenes or from another promotion that no one likes to watch, but they've been there for a while. So They learned their craft from somewhere, and it's exciting to see, you know, because when I started watching back in the late 90s between WCW and WWE at the time, there was a lot of wrestlers that I didn't know. You know, they came up early on, and it's fun going able to go watch those matches back. And luckily, you know, WWE Network has those available to watch, you know, old Raw, old Nitros and stuff like that. So it's fun to watch those matches.
Right, for sure. For sure. And it's to see the differences now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I remember I recently just going on to Peacock and looking at some of the stuff on the network there. The sea of signs. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Everybody had a freaking sign, man. A piece of cardboard or whatever. And, yeah, you still see signs out there, but it's not as prevalent as it was back in those days. Everybody had a freaking sign. And I don't know, man. It's just like the energy from those Raws back then, it was just so palpable because, like, you could just feel it coming off of the screen.
Definitely.
You don't get that now.
No.
But you do get it in AEW.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Every time I see an AEW show, the fans look like they're having a party.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, like, they look like they are having the best time. So let's go there, man. We're there now. You've been watching AEW since it started, yes?
Yes.
Okay, but you've also been watching WWE because you are a fan. What are your thoughts on the differences here? And be perfectly honest.
The big difference I see between AEW and WWE is, and I know you mentioned on your podcast before, and you kind of debated with your Fanboy Day about this, but it's the storytelling. And I think looking at it, I was listening to Busted Open earlier this week, or yesterday rather.
Isn't that an awesome podcast?
It's an awesome podcast. Yeah. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, the quarterly pay-per-views that AEW puts on. And I feel like back in the day when WWE had, you know, the main four pay-per-views with the occasional one every other month, they had the opportunity to do long-term storytelling.
Yes.
And they were able to build a story, build a feud over a matter of, you know, months, years, to really culminate for a payoff at a pay-per-view.
Right.
AEW has that. They have quarterly pay-per-views, so they're able to tell a story long-term.
Yes.
through a weekly television, whereas WWE, it feels like they're rushing these stories to get to the next pay-per-view, to get to the next main event.
Yes.
It seems that WWE may be taking a step back as far as pay-per-view, because I think I read that their December pay-per-view is no longer on the books.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it is. Fanboy Dave would probably know better than I would.
Yeah.
but maybe that's a direction they need to take. You know,
maybe.
Not to say that some of the storylines aren't good in WWE right now, but I just think that having wrestlers tell a story through months and months of television and then allowing that, you know, to culminate at a pay-per-view is a lot better
than yes.
what WWE is offering.
Yes, and a great example of that that we'll get into a little bit more later, but I'll mention it briefly, is the match between what is his name? Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega.
Yes.
That's a story that's been culminating for, what, almost 2 years now?
Almost since, like, 2018, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and the culmination of it finally happened this past Saturday. And how satisfying was that? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see Dynamite tomorrow to see, you know, Hangman Adam Page come in and in his hometown.
Hope on a horse.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to see what's going to happen next, I don't get that in WWE.
No.
You know, I'm sorry, but I don't. I watched Raw yesterday, right? This just to give you an example. And I think that Raw's 3 hours long, and out of those 3 hours, I think I was on my phone probably 2.5 of those. Seriously, just kind of looking up. Yeah, okay, same old, going back on my phone. Yeah, oh, same old. Going. Like, to this point, it's like, why am I even watching, you know?
Right.
And technically, according to Busted Open, it was a good show, you know? And yeah, I mean, there was some action and stuff that was good, but it's like eating the same stuff, you know, over and over again. It's kind of predictable at this point. Now, don't get me wrong. The ending of Raw and everything, that was kind of a, oh, okay, what's happening yeah. here, you know? So that did kind of pique my interest, but that little segment out of 3 hours of television, whereas a show like Dynamite, man, bell to bell for the most part, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, the only thing WWE really has right now is they got Survivor Series coming up, and so they're allowing their talent to cross over between, you know, brands to build something better.
Survivor Series is Sunday.
But again, it feels kind of rushed.
It does. It does. You know? And there hasn't been that. They wanted to make it a brand against brand, just like they did a couple of years or however many years it's been before. But there hasn't been that buildup.
No.
At all. You know? I haven't heard SmackDown talk trash about Raw or vice versa. Mm. You know? So there's... I mean, be honest. Are you really that excited about Survivor Series?
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's going to be on because I've watched every, you know, Survivor Series since
right. Now. Right. When it used to come on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, when it came yeah, on Thanksgiving, you know, when I would purchase it on pay-per-view and my parents wouldn't know about me paying for it. But
yeah.
That's when it was really good.
Well,
but like you said, you know, like the Raw you watched yesterday was 3 hours long.
Yes.
The Full Gear pay-per-view was 4 hours long, but every single minute of that 4 hours was captivating.
And we'll get into the matches again here in a little bit, but in my opinion, first of all, I wouldn't call any match a sleeper, but if I was going to choose one that might have been a sleeper, maybe the Cody match, the tag match, maybe. But even that was good.
It was.
You know, so that says a lot.
Yeah.
You know what definitely. I mean? I mean, to go the whole card, bell to bell, and just to have you, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, getting a good, you know, you know, you're gassed at the end, and you're just like, oh, God, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Right.
You know, to leave you feeling that good, I mean, that's the best thing I can think of to describe the pay-per-view. You know, I'm just being honest. I'm not saying it because, like, David thinks I'm an AEW mark or anything. No, I'm being real. Like, I was excited, and by the way, I on the air right now, I'm going to tell people right now, I need to apologize to you because I should have called you to come watch it with me.
I was kind of waiting for the invite, you know? I was like, is he mad at me or something? I mean, what's going on? Does he have better friends? I mean, I don't understand.
Oh, my God.
No, no, seriously, I'm not mad. I mean, I had a friend actually text me, because I was going to debate if I was going to order it. But my friend texted me, he's like, hey, you want to come over and watch it? It's like, yeah, so we'll come over and watch it. So,
okay, cool.
But
cool.
I did message you during the pay-per-view.
You did, yeah. So. Until technically we were watching it together, yeah, right? So. But I can't, dude. It's
like two kids at home.
I know, right?
Calling each other late at night before the parents catch us.
Yeah.
What you doing?
It was so weird because, like, you and I are really good friends, but to be fair, we don't see each other a lot.
Right.
Because you have your family, you know, and stuff, and you're doing stuff, and you live in Lockhart. I live here in Seguin. So we don't see as much of each other as we'd like to. So I don't know what to do. I was trying to find somebody to come watch with me, and for some stupid reason, I couldn't. You didn't pop into my head. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I sat there in the shower crying. That
That's funny. I'm about to buy you a Superman toy now or something. Anyway, what was I going to say? So you've been hearing the podcast. You've been hearing kind of my beef, I guess you could say, with WWE, mm-hmm. from the lack of storytelling, right? From just not really grabbing you as a viewer. And even to the recent, not just recent, it's been happening over the past year, not two, the firings that have been going on. Oh, and yeah. And I'm interested to hear your take just on that alone. Because, like you've heard me say it before, I think WWE has gotten away from being a pro wrestling company. Like, they are definitely an entertainment company, and they don't care about the fans and what the fans think or what investment they have in a character. They're seriously only caring about the bottom dollar, and I just don't think it may be good business fiscally, but
yeah,
but to keep an audience, I just don't think it's a good move. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I can see it from a business standpoint, as, you know, obviously you have to cut budget somewhere, you have to do, you know, let people go. But from my understanding is they had their quarterly meeting, and it was nothing but profit.
Right. I heard the same thing.
For them to release 18 wrestlers this last round, you know, I can see some of the wrestlers that are just still in developmental or NXT that are, you know, haven't really got any TV time or are working just mainly dark matches. But you got people like Karrion Kross. You know, Keith Lee, you know, these people that they're obviously building the character.
Right.
They're building a storyline for him. And then all of a sudden, they did the same thing with Malakai Black.
Right.
He was already coming out. And then the next week, they're like, you're fired.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. And that's what doesn't make sense to me. Like, and when I say this, I'm not speaking ill of any of the talent, because they are all talented. They're in that company for a reason. Yeah. You know, I think if you're looking at a certain talent that isn't really producing, I don't blame them entirely. I think a lot of it does have to do with creative and stuff like that. Having said that, though, it makes more sense to me if you let go somebody like Dana Brooke as opposed to somebody like a Malakai Black.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, she hasn't done anything in years. You know, she's a jobber for the most part. You know what I mean?
She's got that cartwheel thing she comes out with.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's it. Yeah, and that's it. Whereas, you know, Malakai Black, formerly, dude, I already forgot his name in WWE. Crazy. What was his name? Alistair Black. Black. Yeah, Alistair that's Black. Right. Okay. Formerly Alistair Black, they had a whole story going with him. Like, they were already showing these little vignettes and everything. And then, boop, he's gone. You know, Bray Wyatt.
Same.
Bray Wyatt, that's another one. It's like, okay, I get if you want to get rid of Eric Rowan because he's not really doing anything. But right. Bray Wyatt, really? So I just don't get some of these decisions that have been coming across, you know, the table when it comes to WWE. And, you know, I don't know for sure if it's really Vince's fault, but at the end of the day, I think the buck stops with Vince.
I agree. And I think that WWE is more of a puppet show at this point.
Yeah.
Where you got so much the producers and, like I said, Vince and Meg giving the final word of telling these wrestlers or sports entertainers what their character should be.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in the past when you had, you know, Austin, you had Rock, you had Triple H, Undertaker, you had Shawn Michaels, who basically told Vince what they were going to do. You know, they took lead on their characters. If they didn't work for them, they weren't going to do it. You know, whereas now it's kind of like a yes, sir, yes, sir. You know, I'm going to do this. This is what you want me to do.
Yeah.
You know, Karrion Kross example. You want me to come out looking like He-Man? I'll come out looking like He-Man.
Right.
And, you know, he did it.
Yeah, he did it and did the best he could with it. But, I mean, Kevin Owens right now, like, it hurts me to see Kevin Owens because he's doing great.
Oh, he's doing great.
He's doing phenomenal, but you can kind of tell it's not there anymore as far as, like, not, he loves doing what he does. I know that. But you can tell he kind of wants out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
I mean, luckily, he's still being kind of, you know, presented to the front of the fans. I mean,
right.
He's going to be on the Survivor's men's team.
Right.
But I definitely don't think there's anything going to be after that. Mm-hmm. And he's probably going to either ride out the last, you know, 2.5 months of his contract.
Right.
Or he's just going to sit back and
Just
wait for that call.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those that would definitely end up showing up on AEW.
Oh, definitely.
Seeing as all his friends are there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you got basically the whole Ring of Honor alumni going over there.
Yeah, yeah. And so, so it's definitely going to be interesting to see. Now, I'm saying, I still say this. I think Tony Khan needs to just go for it, man. He needs to just bite the bullet and say, give me a Monday slot. I think he should go toe-to-toe with Vince McMahon and bring back another Monday Night War. Because I think at that point, that's when Vince is going to start. I don't think Vince will ever shake in his boots.
Right.
Right? We've said this time and time again. WWE is so big that he's going to be on the top of the mountain probably till he kicks the bucket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for AEW to really make an impact, I think they need to go to Mondays.
I agree. I think they need to move Dynamite to Monday. Obviously, they'll probably keep it 2 hours as opposed to 3 hours that Raw is running.
Which is good, I think.
Which is good. You know, I mean, I think WCW back in the day, because they used to start at 7 o'clock, and Raw would start at 8, so they had that extra hour to kind of get. And that's what they brought up, like, the big guys in the beginning for promos. Sure. But then they should probably move Rampage up to 2 hours and maybe move it to Thursday night, just because they need to see how well they're going to do going head-to-head with Raw than trying to attempt two shows going back-to-back against WWE shows.
Right. Because the fact that they beat NXT on Wednesdays, it's great and all that, but you basically just beat the developmental.
Well, that was NXT. We're talking about NXT 2.0. Let's see them go against it.
I got to be honest. I stopped watching NXT 2.0. It just wasn't grabbing me, you know. I did see a couple of, like, I know Rick Steiner's son is there now, and but I'm sorry, I'm just one of those that if I don't see any interest in it, I just won't watch, you know.
Yeah.
If you're gonna give me a match with a jobber, that's great. But if it's like back to back matches with jobbers and whatnot, I'm probably not gonna want to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, I still watch Raw, I still watch SmackDown, and sometimes NXT, but I usually don't watch it as it's on. Like, sometimes I'll watch the day after. Whereas, you know, back in the day, you know, my friends asked me, you want to go hang out tonight? It's Monday night. I was like, no, man, Raw's on.
Yeah.
on, you know, gotta watch it. That sort of thing. And I'd rewatch it. I'd record it and rewatch it throughout the week.
Right.
It's exciting to watch.
Right.
Whereas this one, she's like, let's put it on the background if I'm
washing
dishes at home or clean. Like,
yes, exactly. Exactly. Bully Ray does the same thing. He admitted it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
That he'll put Raw on because, you know, he has to watch it, but he'll be washing dishes.
Yeah,
but
like I said, like the pay-per-view this weekend, like, you know, I wasn't doing anything but watch it. I mean, when I was texting you, you know, between there, or between the promo package, which there really wasn't much.
No.
Which is what I like about AEW pay-per-views. Like, they don't give promotional packages. Like, you already know the storyline. If you're watching the show and you're watching AEW, you know what the storyline is.
Right.
Whereas WWE, they do a pay-per-view. They do the promos on the kickoff show at least twice.
Yeah.
And they do it before every match.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like overkill.
Yeah, I agree. It's overkill. I agree.
And most of it's only from the most recent SmackDown or Raw.
Right. I agree. And this is the crazy thing, too. I was thinking about this before, you know, earlier today when I knew we were going to have this conversation. I said this before. I've told this to Fanboy Dave many times. Like, AEW is not perfect. But, you know, the crazy thing about it, and this is what I was thinking about today, I think that's the beauty of AEW.
Yeah.
Is that they don't have it all together. Is that they are still learning. Like, it's still this up-and-coming company, you know? Like, again, going back to the pay-per-view, just a brief, we're going to dive into it, I know, but just a brief part of it. When Darby Allin came out, you know, he had his little movie going.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't a fan of it. I was just like,
I wasn't either.
I was like, I don't get it, you know? To me, it was a miss, but who cares? The match was phenomenal. You know what I mean? So it's like, I love the fact that Tony Khan lets the talent, as they say on Busted Open all the time, let the talent be talented.
Right.
You know, okay, this is what you want to do. okay, as long as you're not saying anything inappropriate, like I'm sure Tony Khan's checking that now, but thanks to the acclaim, right?
Right.
But go out there and either sink or swim. It's on you, you know? And I think that's what you should do, you know? Whether it be pro wrestling, whether it be music. Dude, when I first started performing, I had to sink or swim. You know, okay, I'm a little nervous on stage, but I got to take, you know, control of it and control the audience. And yeah, I failed many times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's how you learn. And then you pick yourself back up and you dust yourself off and you keep moving forward. And I've seen AEW do that. And I think it's a good thing. You know, granted, there's some wrestlers that you haven't seen come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But probably because they figured out, well, maybe this ain't for me.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, but at least Tony Khan gives them the opportunity to be able to do that. And I think that's a great thing. You know, and look at the well of just experience you have in that company now with, you know, Big Show there now, or Paul White, Paul White, and you've got Dean Malenko, I think, is there too in the back, right? He's an agent. You've got Mark Henry there now, and of course Chris Jericho, Dustin Rhodes. There's just so much just experience for these young up and comers to take advantage of. You know, whereas in WWE, yeah, you have that a little bit, but then you got all the freaking agents and writers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where it hurts the product, in my opinion. In my opinion.
No, I agree. Like we said before, you know, I think Tony Khan should pull the plug and go for a Monday Night back to, you know, against the WWE. And like I said, they do have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent, like Chris Jericho, Dusty Rhodes, Paul White, Sting, that were in WCW when they were being WWE.
Yes.
And they can easily attest to say what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
What mistakes that Tony Khan might make and say, hey, this is going to be a mistake.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. And on the flip side of that, the interesting thing about what you just said is they've got Mark Henry and Big Show to come and say, well, this is how they kicked our ass.
Yeah.
Hey, coming back, this is, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that, or was I going with this? You threw me off when you started talking.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
No, they have those guys to say, you know, this is what's going to work. This wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know? And not to say that I want WWE to go away.
Right, right, right.
You know, because then you'd have to kick Fanboy Day off your show because there's nothing else for to talk about. But I mean, it's good to have competition.
Yes.
It's good to have competition because not to say WWE wasn't good when it didn't have real competition. But you had a lot of good stars coming up,
right?
You know, Batista, Randy Orton, John Cena,
right?
The you know, larger life characters that built that brand,
right?
Built that company on their back. But it's always good to have competition.
Definitely, definitely. And to me, that's what makes the products better. I mean, let's go back to the Attitude Era. We've heard many stories from the ex superstars that were there that the locker room wasn't always friendly.
Oh yeah.
But it was because there was that competition, right? And with that competition, it's good. The fact that the clique were a bunch of jerks, you know, and they fooled on people and like, oh, you got how much? Oh man, we made this much, lying out their teeth, but it created this, you know, well, I need to do this better, or I need to do that better.
That aggressive mentality.
Yeah.
For your spot, you want to be on there. And, you know, back in the day when it came to Raw during the Attitude Era, I mean, even mid-carders had a good story.
Yeah.
You know, going on. Sometimes it was cheesy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Val Venus thing comes to mind when they did the whole kind
of
type thing.
Get out of my head. I was thinking the same thing.
Chop your wee wee or
choppy,
something.
Choppy, choppy your pee pee.
It's like, you know, that was some interesting storytelling, but it was entertaining.
It was
entertaining, you know. Like I said, you know, the click in the backstage area. Even with some of the top names that they're friends with now, you know, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and The Undertaker did not get along back in the day.
Right, right.
You know, to the point where they wanted to kill each other.
Right,
and
right.
I'm sure if Shawn kept up with the shenanigans, he would have killed him.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Thank God he found Jesus, right?
Yeah, thank God he found Jesus, you know. Found God and everything, you know, because they brought him into WWE too.
Yeah, yeah, that was, God. Talk about a bad idea.
Yeah. that was a hilarious pay-per-view.
When Vince McMahon meets God, God's going to be like, you remember that time?
Yeah, remember that time?
Yeah, like, so you see the red door? That's where you're going.
For real. For real.
That's funny. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to start talking about that pay-per-view. We're going to break down the pay-per-view. Those that didn't get to see it, I'm warning you now, spoilers will be coming. So if you don't want to hear about the spoilers, you want to watch AEW's Full Gear on your own or whatever, then you don't want to hear this part. But for the rest of you, we're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to talk about the matches. It's going to be good.
I'm just saying, if you haven't watched it, you're not a fan. So
yeah, that's true. That's very true, because you wouldn't have wanted to miss it. You know? Exactly. So, okay. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back to basics, no fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today.
Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Jawan will hook you up with your tailored-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow and let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now I'm recording. Okay, there we go. We can go back and fix that. It's all good.
How many times have you done this?
This is my first time.
Oh, you're a cherry too.
No, actually, I've done the recording process like this before where I'm behind the controls, but I did it on my Mac.
Oh, okay.
You know, so this is the first time I'm actually doing it on the same system we do for my other podcasts. And my partner's not here to do it, so that's why he showed me real quick, push this button, do this. So that's what I'm doing. So
Sink or swim, brothers.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about, right? Anyway, so we are back. I was going to say, if you're just tuning in, but you can't do that. You got to hear a podcast from the beginning, right? Same. It's not a radio show.
I came in during the advertisement.
Yeah, right? I fast-forwarded. I wanted to hear the commercial.
What's that number again?
Anyway, but we've been talking with my good friend, my brother, my bandmate, Chris Castillo. And we've been talking, well, actually, the first segment, we've just been talking about AEW and WWE and kind of the contrasting styles and things we like, things we don't like. But now I want to get into the meat and potatoes of what we're going to talk about today. And that's all, or I was going to call it all out again, Full Gear, AEW Full Gear that showed this past Saturday. And what a pay-per-view. Would you agree?
Oh, it was a great pay-per-view.
Man, I was on the edge of my seat pretty much the entire time. You know, I mean, it was, I love it when, and this is one of the things I used to like about watching the NXT takeovers, that from the first match, there's no warm-up, right? It's just they get you in the jugular from the get-go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and definitely. That's exactly what this pay-per-view did. So we'll start off there with the first match. The first match had Darby Allin versus MJF.
We're just skipping over the buy-in?
Yeah, because I didn't watch the buy-in.
Oh, okay.
Did you watch the buy-in?
I did watch the buy-in.
Did you now? Okay.
I did.
Well, give us your little synopsis of the buy-in, if you don't mind. I know Thunder Rosa was a part of it. Wasn't Thunder Rosa part of it?
It was Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter and Nyla Rose.
There you go.
Which basically Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa took the win.
Thunder Rosa I do like a lot.
I do. I like Hikaru Shida.
Oh yeah, she's hot.
They did have Serena Deeb at ringside, so I guess they're gonna bring her into a storyline at some point.
Well, her and Akira Shida got some beef.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. That's not surprising.
It goes back to when she lost her, what was it, 100th match or something?
50th.
There.
Yeah.
100 matches. I don't know how many she's wrestling. We're going to say 100. She did a dark match.
So who won
too.
That one?
Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa.
Okay.
With Vicky Guerrero at ringside. She did play a part in there, which is interesting to me on Vicky Guerrero because the whole night had a lot of Eddie Guerrero tributes since it was the anniversary of his passing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, there was something for Vicky Guerrero. And it may have been because she was on the buy-in show, so no one's really going to see it. But I would have thought that being his widow,
yeah,
she would have done something. Yeah. But it was a good match nonetheless.
It was. And I got to say, I was surprised, not in a bad way or anything, but in a good way, yeah, at some of the people that did the tributes.
Yeah.
You know, which we'll get into later. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It was a good match. And I do want to say, before we go further into the pay-per-view, this match itself, because I put down the times of the matches, because these were long matches. We're averaging about two matches per hour.
Right.
The buy-in was 12 minutes and 32 seconds long.
The shortest one.
No.
No. No. Oh, no, 12 minutes. I thought you said 2 minutes. Yeah. 12 minutes.
Yeah, the actual shortest one we'll get into later was the Punk versus Kingston match.
That was the shortest?
11 minutes.
Wow.
There, I think, was over 10 minutes.
Right.
But that was the shortest at 11 minutes.
Wow.
But that just goes to show you, where you're having... you might get a 10-minute match out of WWE, but that's with intros.
That's true.
Undertaker's 20-minute walk through the ring.
That's true. That is very true.
But no, it was a good buy-in match.
Okay, cool. And right now I'm really high on Thunder Rosa. I got to meet her.
Nice.
You know, I got to take a picture with her. She's really nice.
Yeah.
And when she turns it on, she turns it on.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
That girl can sell.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
You know,
big time. I was at the show in Buda that Dave LaGreca always talks about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was at that show. Both me and Melissa, we were sitting front row.
Nice.
At that show, so we got to see the whole.
Was that with Mark Henry there?
Yeah, Mark Henry was there. He was sitting behind us, kind of catty corner. I was able to say hi to Mark Henry.
Nice.
It was a great
Black sexual show. Chocolate.
Yeah, so it was a great show. I'm kind of like kicking myself because I had been going back and forth. I was thinking about going to Conroe, mm-hmm, to see that match between Thunder Rosa and I don't even know who the chick is that's fighting for Dave LaGreca, but but they were gonna have that
it really
match.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? But I wanted to go check that out, but wasn't able to. But it's all good. So anyway, all right, so we got the buy-in out of the way, so now we can go to the first match being Darby Allin versus MJF. And before we get into that match, what is your take on MJF? That man lives the gimmick.
Oh yeah, he lives the gimmick. like you mentioned before on your previous podcast, that he's like an old school horseman.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
Just a complete jerk in and out of the ring, in front of the camera, behind the camera.
Right.
Lives the gimmick. I know there's a lot of rumors about him not being happy in AEW.
Right.
And again, that could be a work to his character.
True. That could
be. I don't know. I haven't. I haven't talked to him in a while, so.
Yeah. But that's the awesome thing about MJF.
Exactly.
You don't know.
And that goes back to the old Monday Night Wars days. You don't know what's real and what's not.
Right.
You know, I doubt he'll jump ship to WWE because they would just flatline him quick.
They would. They would. Know? Like I told Fanboy Dave several times, because, your boy's going to go, your boy. He's not going to WWE because if he did, he'd be dead in the water. They would not let him shine the way they're letting him shine at AEW.
Oh,
there's just no way. So we get into the match. Great, great match. They had a great buildup. Let's go back to that promo that was a few weeks ago where MJF went there, man. He went personal when it came to Darby. When he talked about Darby's, was it his uncle?
I think it was uncle, yeah.
His uncle that died because he was drinking, you know, and how that's actually where Darby gets the whole painting his face.
Right.
Because I guess he was real close to his uncle. And after his uncle passed away, he says he became dead inside.
Which was interesting that they used that in his intro.
Yes, yes.
That even surprised me too.
Yeah, exactly. So MJF going there, getting that personal, really made you want to see Darby kick his ass.
Oh, yeah.
And the action in the match, dude, so many great spots.
Oh, yeah.
You know, great work out of both of them. The rolling around thing, right? I guess... If you just kind of come in and see that, it can come off as gimmicky. But the way that they did it, it just worked.
Well, the whole backstory, too, was MJF talking about how he's not on his level as far as, like, wrestling.
Right.
You know, because he considers Darby Allin a spot fest.
Right.
And It was. There was a lot of spots in there, but there was a lot of technical wrestling going on there too.
Exactly.
Including the cradle rolling around the ring that they did.
Yes.
You know, I feel bad for the referee because I feel like he kept... I would hate to get up and down constantly. It's like, dude, pin the guy already, you know? But no, it was a good match.
Yeah, and you bring up a very good point because... Somebody like Fanboy Dave, and yeah, we're picking on him because he's not here.
But, I'm sorry, brother. I don't know you, but you know.
But take somebody like Fanboy Dave. If he were to come in and watch that match, just cold watch, right? When I say cold watch, I mean you've had no buildup. You're just watching it for action's sake,
right?
Yes, you see him telling a story, but to that person, that was probably a stupid thing to see.
Yeah,
you know. But if you know the story, if you've been following the story, like you said about how, you know, MJF said Darby's not on his level, he can out-wrestle him and everything, then it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so my opinion, great match, great action. It told the perfect story from promos building up to it to the actual action in the ring. And in my opinion, the perfect ending because it pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you want, though.
Yeah, you don't want the heel to win, but at the same time, you want the heel to make you feel something.
Exactly.
But I agree. It was a great match. The only thing I would say on that, and it wasn't even the match itself, it was the commentating, where they, I think MJF was trying to put the sharpshooter on Darby and he reversed it.
Yes.
As he put it on there, and they called it a sharpshooter. I'm like, he stings Buddy. Exactly.
And they did fix it. But they did
fix it. Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, if you're going to commentate. But I also think that, you know, commentators don't have Visit Man in their ear telling them what to say.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross are experienced enough, and Excalibur has been doing it for a while that they can pull off commentating. And that was just a minuscule thing that bugged me.
Yeah. No, and I understand that too, because it's like, that stings, boy. Why are you going to bring up a Bret Hart move?
And this match started the first of almost every match, with the exception of one, that had an apron spot, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting that they constantly did it.
Yeah, no. But I mean, like you said, great action. I gotta bring this move up. The what is he? They always say it every single time. The tope suicida, the one that Darby Allin did, and it was just like if he was a missile, the way that he hit him,
hit him with his head.
Yes,
it wasn't like it was a shoulder tackle. No, it was straight up in the head.
I was like, holy crap!
Yeah,
the momentum and just the way. Oh my god, it was.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, as professional wrestlers, they know how to, you know, MJF probably was falling back at the same time to kind of ease the pressure on him. But same time, you're right. I mean, that was just a straight shot.
Yeah. Know? It was something else. If you haven't seen it, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Matt, that match was awesome. All right, what was the second match?
Second match was Lucha Brothers versus FTR.
Oh, man. Now, going back again to like hits and misses and things like that, I will say this. Lucha Brothers' entrance was kind of weird.
A little bit.
Because those guys, what was it? They fell over or something?
Yeah, I was like, they got the Jabberwockies?
Yeah.
I was like, what is this?
They went out there, didn't do much, and then all of a sudden they fell over, and that was it. And I was like, that was kind of pointless, but... Okay, let's roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess. So
wasn't the worst entrance, but
no, it was not. It was not the worst entrance, but it was definitely interesting. But yeah, so they come out. They went against FTR, right?
FTR,
yeah, with Tully Blanchard in their corner,
right?
And that match was awesome.
That match was awesome. One of the things I noticed that there was a lot of blind tags going on in the match.
Right.
Which was interesting because FTR made a big deal about using the tag rope and everything
when they
wrestled him and bringing it back and everything, making a big deal about that. And they pretty much just forgot about all the rules.
Exactly.
Which is one of the things that AEW does. They tend to forget about a lot of the rules.
And that's one of the tightening of the screws that needs to happen. Yeah, for
exactly.
sure. Exactly.
For sure. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of good spots. I mean, the one thing about those wrestlers, like, they're tag teams.
Yes.
Whereas opposed to, you know, WWE has wrestlers that are single competitors that they put into a tag team.
Right.
These guys work together. They build their, you know, repertoire and their arsenal on tag maneuvers.
And they got a chemistry. You can see it.
Yeah, they got a chemistry.
Yeah, they've for been sure. doing it.
Not to say, you know, you shouldn't have singles matches with these tag teams, you know, from time to time again.
Right.
But I think they have a good tag team division right now.
Definitely. Definitely. And Lucha Brothers right now are at the top of that because they are the champions.
Yeah.
And I've always been a fan of Pentagon. Yeah. I was first introduced to Pentagon in Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
I became a quick fan. Loved his persona. Loved his work in the ring. Loved his look. One of my highlights at WrestleMania weekend back in 2016 was going to WrestleCon and being able to meet him.
Nice.
And being able to get a picture with him and talking to him, letting him know I'm a fan. And
yeah.
Great guy, very down to earth. So, yeah, I'm a huge Pentagon fan. Nice. Huge Pentagon fan. So, Pentagon and Rey Fénix, they won. Yep. They're still the champions.
They did through... illegal man.
Illegal man. Yeah. That was a weird ending, though.
But I also see it as that they can still continue this storyline with them.
True.
You know, because it allows them to say, hey, you know, I wasn't a legal man kind
right,
of thing.
Right, right.
And it was the first match that had a tribute to Eddie Guerrero.
Yes. Who was it that did it?
It was, I have notes here. Dax. First did the shuffle and then tried to do the Three Amigos.
That's right.
On Penta.
And Pentagon then, interrupted it and right. was like, no. I'm gonna right. do it,
and then
yeah.
and then Rey Fénix did the frog splash, which was a near fall. But
yeah,
I'm sorry, no one can do the Three Amigos like Eddie Guerrero.
No,
I just saw him. It looked like me trying to get out of bed in the morning, trying to just like legs kicking everywhere.
So. But overall, great match. The ending was a little wonky, because I didn't see like I get the reason why they put the mask on to try to get the different guy in, but it was a little wonky. But other than that. Great match. Great way to start the pay-per-view. First two matches hit it out of the park. And then we go to number three.
Number three was Miro versus Bryan Danielson, which
going into this
match, I looked at it as whoever was going to win was where the title picture was going to come into effect.
Right.
You know, thinking heel versus face kind of scenario.
Gotcha.
So the ending was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
And I also think... because Bryan Danielson took the win. I don't think he needed it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he was, he's established himself, you know, had a good run in WWE prior to retirement and a short good run after he came back. But Rusev, I feel like they dropped the ball, so he kind of needed to redeem himself as far as a wrestler.
Right. But at the same time, I think this makes Miro hungry still. Even hungrier, and I think him coming back now and decimating everybody even more because of the loss.
Yeah,
it's just going to build him up more as this huge monster.
Oh yeah, and then during the match, several times, even towards the end, he was taunting Dan. I was like, "Hit me,
yeah,
hit me."
Yeah,
you know,
tell me that did not remind you of the scene from Bloodsport.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's all I saw when he was doing that. I was like, that's out of Bloodsport, man. Yeah.
No, it was a really good match. I love both Miro, formerly Rusev.
Yeah.
And Bryan Danielson. I think they had a great match.
Yes. Yes.
Back forward. That was also a different unusual ending too, because if you recall he took the DDT off the top rope to Miro.
He did.
And applied a submission, but Aubrey Edwards stop the match.
Yes, she did.
So
for whatever reason, seeing that, like, I guess he was dazed or I don't know something, but
which gives an opportunity to go into a three-way with Adam Page.
True, very true.
But who knows?
Yeah, very true. No, I agree with you. I think it was a great match. Definitely a lot of hard-hitting action.
Oh yeah,
hard-hitting action.
I know you talked in the past previously about AEW and the wrestlers not connecting on some moves.
Oh, they connected.
They connected.
Boy, did they connect.
You saw it. Yes,
very much so. And the first time, I don't know if you caught this, that Bryan Danielson ever acknowledged the yes.
When he was taunted with his hand.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Miro kind of did it too.
He did.
Mocking him for it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's his kind of way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I really don't think there would be a legal battle if he did it, but sue all the fans.
Yeah, with WWE, you never know, right?
Yeah,
right. All right, cool. So number four match.
Number four match was Christian Cage and Jurassic Express versus the Super Click.
This match was entertaining as hell.
Oh yeah, I mean, it wasn't so much it was a professional wrestling match, but it was a melee of sorts.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
And anything the Super Click does is entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so entertaining.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
is it just me or did Jungle Boy look bigger with his jeans on? He didn't look as scrawny.
He did. You're right. You know, he did.
Which I thought was interesting.
Were you looking at his ass or what?
They pointed out that they came out in jeans. You know,
I'm just kidding.
I had no choice.
No, he did. He looked more intimidating for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that loincloth.
He became a man that night.
Yeah, he did.
He became a man that night.
I mean, it's funny when you sent me that meme earlier today. I didn't look at it that way. But yeah, you know, because it was Christian Cage that was going to do the concerto on one of the, it was one of the Young Bucks, right?
Yeah, it was on Matt Jackson, I
think. Yeah, okay. And then Jungle Boy was like, no, I'll do it.
Because he was going to do it earlier in the match when they were in the ring.
Right.
And then he didn't get it in, and so that's at the end they let him do it, which I thought was interesting, which is good. They take away, you know, the Jungle Boy Jack Perry innocent
wrestler
and make him a little more threatening.
Exactly. I thought it was a great move. I loved how he did it, where you almost thought maybe he wasn't going to do it, but then he ended up, you know, he ended up doing it, which was awesome as hell.
There were a couple of spots like... was it just me? Because Adam Cole got busted open during that match.
He did.
Did it look fake to you, the blood?
It did.
It looked like it was just paint.
It did.
It was that match, and there was another, I think it was CM Punk match. It looked kind of fake, too.
Yeah.
And like I texted you during the, you know, after the match, they did a thumbtack spot where they threw, the Young Bucks threw thumbtacks into his mouth, you know, Jungle Boy's mouth.
And he didn't even sell that.
He didn't sell that. Like, I was expecting, like, blood coming out.
Yeah.
It's like he was eating Pop Rocks or something.
Yeah. It's like, come on, you're going to put thumbtacks in the mouth, sell it at least, you know?
And I'm sure they were gimmick ones, but
at
the same time, you know, sell it.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, but other than that, it was a good match. It was a...
Luchasaurus was a beast.
Yeah.
Like, this dude's huge, and he's pulling off the, you know, the moonsaults
ramp. I know.
Everything.
He's very athletic, for sure.
Very athletic.
For sure.
But the Panama Sunrise that Adam Cole did off the display.
Dude, that was...
that was like, oh my God.
That was insane. That whole match was just awesome, man.
It was a good match.
So, all right. So, what we got next?
Next, we have Cody Rhodes and Pac versus Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo.
This was good. This match was good. Now, this was the one that I would say maybe would be the only one that was... I wouldn't even call it a sleeper, though.
No,
and I think it was good.
I think the thing about this one is they did it right, where it wasn't a technical match,
right?
But I don't think it was meant to be. You have you have two teams that have opposite opposing, you know, storylines going
on. Right.
So it's going to be just a brawl,
right? For sure, you know, for sure. And you don't know if the two people that are teaming up, they don't really get along anyway, and,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So there was all that in play as well.
It was interesting that was the only match in the card that's all former WWE.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I was looking at that. I was hoping, you know, Cody Rhodes was going to pull out a Stardust gimmick, but they do that. The best part, though, Arn Anderson pulling out his imaginary Glock. And I'm thinking, like, is he really going to pull out a gun?
Yeah, that was funny. I got to say this, man. What's his name? Pac or Pac or whatever. Seeing him in action in AEW, not just this match, but in other matches too, I'm just like, freaking WWE missed the boat with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He is so good.
Yeah.
So good, man. And just seeing him in action is just a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got just such athleticism. I mean, and he's such a small guy.
He is.
But the fact that he throws that attitude in there, I mean, it's just... He's much better as this persona than he was as that heel character or that face character in WWE. Yeah.
Coming out with the cape and everything.
Yeah. See, I don't even remember his name back then.
Neville.
Neville. Okay. Neville. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Like I said, I love his athleticism. I'm surprised that he's still taking the flips and everything out of the rings, considering, you know, he broke his ankle back when he fought Jericho.
Right. Right.
I thought he might kind of like change his arsenal, but
nope. You know, he's still doing. Yeah.
Going.
Yep. Good match. I don't remember who won, honestly.
Cody and Pac.
Okay.
Cody
and Pac. Yeah, so technically the quote-unquote
good guys. The WWE wrestlers won that match.
There you go.
There you go, right. Fanboy Dave.
What was next?
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Oh, yes.
And Ty Conti.
That was a good match.
That was a good match. I was surprised Anna Jay didn't come out.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she came out at the end with a Dark Order, but... I would have thought, you know, everything going on, she would have come out during that match.
Yeah, yeah. Was it just me, or did it kind of seem like the match didn't end when it was supposed to?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wait, no, that's kind of weird. Because when they did that, I thought, oh, shoot, is Ty Conti going to get the belt?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then she didn't.
Yeah.
So to me, that was a little bit of a letdown. Because it felt like the match should have ended way before it actually did.
Right, right.
You know.
And Ty Conti is still kind of green.
She is. Yes,
you know,
she is.
She's a good wrestler. But and I like the storytelling they did. I think her facial expressions are kind of hilarious sometimes.
Yeah,
she like oversold the like, oh my god, I didn't pin her.
Yeah,
but they, you know, the commentators did a good job selling it. You know, when she was stomping on Britt Baker's hand to, you know, signify it's gonna be hard to put the lockjaw on.
Right, right.
I hate that name of that move.
Yeah, I know. I know. But overall, good match for sure. For
yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
All right, next.
Next match was CM Punk and Eddie Kingston.
Ooh, that one was a fight.
It was. Shortest match of the night, but it was a really good fight.
And they did a great job of telling this story in the short amount of time that they did, because I believe it only had like a couple of weeks buildup.
Yeah, definitely. But it shows, it allowed CM Punk to show that he can brawl. I mean, he does have an MMA background.
Right.
Which he did come out with the MMA shorts on.
Right, he did.
That night.
He did.
So, but it was just a lot of taunting back and forth.
For sure. Punk was getting booed.
Punk was getting booed.
Yes.
Yeah, he was getting booed. So, I know you had messaged me. It's like, is there a heel turn coming? Who knows?
Yeah.
You know. Well,
to be fair, it's possible that it could have happened. But I think when he went at the end of the match to shake Eddie's hand, any heel aspirations went out the window there.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, he's doing the face thing when he does that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to lie, watching that match and hearing the crowd boo, I started thinking he can so take this and run with it. He can kind of go back to the way he was.
And I'm trying to remember when they started booing. Was it after he tried to mimic the five moves of Doom?
No, I think it happened before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that added to it.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I think, I got to be honest, I think where it was coming from was, everybody connects with Eddie Kingston so well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And because if I'm remembering correct, I could be wrong, but if I'm remembering correct, when they had the confrontation in the ring last week or whenever it was, and Punk called him a bum, he got boos there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I really think that's where some of those boos were coming from, if not all of them.
Yeah.
I think that's where it stems from. But yeah, doing the five moves of doom from John Cena, that wasn't
Minus helping. The five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, exactly. But
there was something else he threw up there.
Yeah, that I go, is he really? Yeah, he is.
I did appreciate the taunting by Kingston on the go to sleep, though.
Yeah, that was funny. that was funny. Great match. And honestly, this looks like a story that could go on still, because Eddie Kingston did not take this handshake, walked off, and, you know, I don't know. We'll see where they're going.
It's just amazing that Eddie Kingston's been around for 20 years, and he's now getting the recognition as a wrestler.
Yeah, well, I mean, Fanboy Dave said it last week. He doesn't look like your typical star.
Neither Dusty Rhodes.
Now, I know that, but we're talking different eras.
Yokozuna.
You're right. But again, that's early 90s, you know. So, I completely agree with you, man. I do. I'm glad that Eddie's got this platform now and he's doing what he's doing, because he's good. He's really, really good. I mean, I like Eddie Kingston a lot. I'm an Eddie Kingston fan, for sure.
Definitely.
For sure. All right, what we got next? I love that you took notes, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I came prepared.
That's good.
I don't want to go into my cherry podcast, you know, not knowing my moves or whatnot. So, the next match was the Inner Circle.
Oh, yeah.
Versus everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name them all off.
You got to give credit to Jericho, to the Inner Circle, and to, I can't remember those guys' names, the two wrestlers in the...
Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page?
Yes, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Because if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have been able to pull this off.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't recall Jericho really having that much to do in the match.
I think Jericho was too busy directing everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like telling him, go here, go there.
That, and he was still trying to, you know, tell the story with Dan Lambert.
You know, thing.
I thought it was funny when Sammy Guevara got on the ladder, did the swan. And I'm thinking, like, is he going to swanton? Nope, he ain't going to swanton.
He's going to swanton.
But it's funny because I'm looking at it, and Jericho's holding one side of the ladder, and Aubrey Edwards on the other.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, you just don't care, or you're just like, I don't want to fall.
yeah, exactly. Like, okay, I would say you're as good as Jeff Hardy, but nobody was holding.
But the interesting about that match, it had a lot of weapons that were invented or made popular through.
What was with that
Minnesota?
What was that Prince?
That Prince, and you notice that it had a little triangle in the middle. It wasn't an actual Prince logo.
Yeah, it did. I was like, and I get it because they were in Minneapolis.
I think the best call tonight was Jim Ross, though. You know, not the damn bun cake.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. That was highly unnecessary, but it was hilarious.
Not the damn monkey. Yeah, that was awesome.
It's right up there with the Mankind. Oh my God, they killed him.
Yeah. Just, that was awesome. That was the match that I was when I say I was surprised, I don't mean it like Chris Jericho wouldn't have done something like this, but yeah, I was just surprised that he did the tribute to Eddie that he did.
I thought if anybody should get that frog splash pin, it should be him. Yeah. I mean, they were friends.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, and so giving it to Lucha Brothers, it wouldn't have meant as much.
Yeah, but with Jericho,
it did mean a lot.
And the fact that he took his time, looked up.
Yeah.
Like, you could feel it. And then I love that they had the camera on him when he won.
Yeah.
And
his emotion, his face.
Yes.
Like,
they caught
that
it.
That was real.
Yes, they caught
that
it.
That was real.
And that was awesome.
I thought it was interesting at the beginning of the match that they started out like it was a tag match.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I was like,
that was funny.
Is there a tag match?
And you saw that Jericho went back, I think on Twitter or something, and he basically said, well, yeah, that's the rules of a Minneapolis street fight. It starts off as a tag match.
I guess so.
Now, I guess before so. We go to the next match, I got to say one thing. Sammy Guevara is on a whole other level.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God.
For sure. I mean, that
he
kid.
He is amazing.
That kid is amazing. Oh, he's a Texas boy, you know.
Yeah, of
expected.
Course.
Yeah. My note on here, though, they did reference wrestling legend Baron Von Roschke.
They did, and he came out.
Which is interesting. I didn't realize that after he did his little spot there with Iron Claw, they was like, oh, okay, that's why they referenced him.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was out there, so that was pretty cool.
He actually had a little action, you know. Yeah. He's like, what, 150 now?
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that. I don't know. Still in better shape than I am, I'll tell you that much.
Great match, though, it was.
And I guess before we go to break, we have to mention what happened after the match. Ramp.
We're not going to break.
Oh, we're not?
No.
We're going to continue on?
Yeah, we're continuing on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm only doing one break on this one. This is considered a podcast extra.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why it's a little different.
I'm extra.
I like it. You're the extra icing.
Well, speaking of extra, we got to talk about who is now All Elite.
Oh, yes. Now, was it announced after this match? I don't remember.
It was after that match because he had talked about
that's
it.
That's right, because Sammy Guevara, he made a challenge to Sammy Guevara. Yes, Jay Lethal. Oh, my God. Jay Lethal is awesome.
Open the forbidden door.
Black Machismo. Black Machismo.
Open the forbidden door, which I don't know what door because Ring of Honor's on the
Yeah.
which, like you said, he challenged Sammy Guevara for a TNT title match this week on Dynamite.
Tomorrow
night, which, I mean, it's going to be a great match.
It is.
It'll be better
it
than is. Woo off he had a Ric Flair.
Yes. Yeah. That was hilarious. Woo, woo.
But yeah, he's All Elite. He was one I was hoping was gonna come, and like I mentioned to you before, the Briscoe brothers.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would like to see them go and you know, they could.
You know who I would like to see? And you don't really hear much about it. I gotta be honest, I don't even know if he's wrestling still. Mm-hmm. But that's Sanjay Dutt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got a picture with Sanjay Dutt. At the WrestleMania weekend at WrestleCon. I've always been a huge fan of his, the player from the Himalaya.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sanjay Dutt. It would be nice to see him in an AEW. Don't know if it'll ever happen, but, you know, just kind of putting that out there. So what match is next?
Next match would be, we're down to the last match. AEW Championship. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page.
And what a story was told in this match.
There was a good story, backstory told just in the 30 seconds of Adam Page's intro when he came in on the horse.
That was funny.
You saw the Dark Order running across the bridge, the tunnel. It's like, oh, there's Dark Order.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I got to be honest, though. I did have one pet peeve on that whole thing.
Okay.
He didn't have on a cowboy hat.
He didn't.
It's like, if you're going to be calling yourself a cowboy or doing cowboy shit or whatever, put on the damn hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You're not from Texas, but come on.
Now, is it just me or does Adam Page kind of look like Stephen Amell from an angle?
He does.
You know? Yeah. Every time they all get like a signing, I'm like.
Well, here's the funny thing. I actually told this to my wife. Did you watch the series Heels?
I watched the first episode.
Okay. You need to watch the whole thing. It's really good. Well, not Stephen Amell's character, but the other guy that plays his brother. Yeah. That's who he looked like to me. There was a bunch of times during that match I was like, he looks just like that dude from Heels.
I can see that.
I don't remember his name, but I was like, wow, that's crazy. But great match.
Great.
And
that's what a title match should be.
Yes, yes. Now, here's the thing. I've always had so much respect and admiration for Kenny Omega. I feel like he is one of, if not arguably, the best professional wrestler out there right now.
Don't say that to Fanboy Dave.
I know, right?
Talking about his boy Randy Orton.
Yeah, I know. What about Randy Orton? Yeah, whatever. but I have so much more respect for him now. You heard, right?
That while he was wrestling with an injury.
On his shoulder.
And I heard that Tony Khan even asked him, you know, do you want to do this match or do we need to find another way to get the belt on him? And he said, no, I'm going to put him over.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
Again, we already know that a lot of these wrestlers work hurt. They push themselves
for sure. There's no off season when it comes
to there is no off season. I mean, look at Stone Cold and The Rock's last match at WrestleMania 19. I mean, he was in the hospital that morning and still made it to the match and put Rock over. So, these guys love their craft. They love what they do. They put their bodies on the line, like you've said plenty of times before. And kudos to him. Like, same thing. You know, I have much more respect for him for that.
For sure. For sure. Great match. Great storytelling. At the end of the whole thing, to me, the last few seconds of the match before Hangman won, that was just such great storytelling. The camera angle they had on Matt Jackson when he looks up at Adam Page and just nods his head.
Oh, yeah. That's,
you know, like, what I mean?
That's long-term storytelling.
Yes, yes.
You know, especially because they're the ones that kicked him out of the
Elite. Yes, you yes. know? And the fact that you see that little head nod and the look on his face like, yeah, do it.
Which kind of makes sense now. I'm going back to, you know, the Miro Daniel or Bryan Danielson match.
Right.
That, you know, I was kind of disappointed because the face won.
Right.
But with this happening, it could be where he takes over, you know, the Elite again.
Right.
You know, because Kenny Omega's going to be off the shelf for
a little while.
You know. So that builds that storyline to allow. And it could flip also that Daniel Bryan could come in as the heel also.
True. And we all know Daniel Bryan can be the heel.
He's in a company where he can showcase his wrestling ability and he can have an ego about it.
He can. Well, and let's be fair. When he came in, he already had the ego. He said, I'm not here to build anybody up. I'm here to kick people's ass.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, there it is right there.
Yeah.
You know.
Brie Bella wrote his promo.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And he came into his match in Miro. If you notice, he had like a black eye.
He did.
I was like, ooh. She whooped his ass.
They're getting into it at home.
No, it was definitely good storytelling. Like I said, it's a long-term, at least 2 years storytelling on that. One of the spots I thought I was like, oh, he's going to mess up is when he pulled the camera off the turnbuckle corner.
Yes.
And got on the post. I was like, oh, if he slips.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. And then.
But no, he pulled it off.
He got that table spot with the Omega side there.
I was a little worried, too, on that one for sure.
Don Callis got involved briefly trying to get him with the title.
Yeah.
But
he got his just desserts. You know,
Cowboy shit got that carny piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
He got him.
He did. It was good.
Let's see if I have anything else here.
Like I said, I love it that you brought notes.
I did. But yeah, I know. Let's go back to long-term storytelling. I know that Bully Ray had talked about busting open for a while there about waiting to give him the title till his hometown show.
Right.
But at the same time, obviously, with Kenny Omega with that hernia injury, it had to come off him at that point.
Anyway. It had to.
And we're tired of seeing the, you know, relinquishing the title kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think, I think it sets up something really exciting for tomorrow. I'm anxious to see what it is. I can't wait. You know, I think we got good stuff coming. More feuds, more great storytelling. AEW right now to me is hitting on all cylinders. Yeah, of course they got a lot of tightening of the screws to do, and that's just going to be an ongoing thing. They're still a baby company, you know. And I think even this past week Tony Khan screwed up by saying some stuff he shouldn't have said, you know. So I think it's across the board, you know. They're all learning, you know. So but overall, I think AEW is really doing their thing, and I think it's going to be a great programming for years.
A couple of debuts I was anticipating but didn't happen. Not say I was disappointed. I thought that maybe Lana would come out, CJ Perry would come out.
Oh, I didn't even think about that
during the Miro Danielson match.
Right.
Hopefully they can do a mixed tag match, but you know, Brie Bella's still with WWE technically.
Yeah,
she technically can do anything. And then when the Dark Order came out at the end of the night to celebrate with him, with Adam Page, you would think that would be perfect time for, you know, Bray Wyatt
to
come out, and Bo Dallas, because supposedly they're going to come out together.
Oh, wow. And that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, quote-unquote, Luke Harper
was
the one that came in and was in Dark Order. And
right, exactly. Led Dark Order. I'm so disappointed that he didn't get to have that character with fans.
Yeah, I know. I know. It was such a tragedy that Brody Lee passed away. Definitely before his time.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I got to hand it on a whole other subject. I got to hand it to AEW, though, for the way they handled that. Giving such love to Brody and to his family. You wouldn't have seen that in WWE.
Oh, yeah. No way. I mean, WWE does give their credit due. It's been a while since they've had a tribute show. I think the last one they did was Chris Benoit. We know what happened with that one.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So, but anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about today. Like I said, this is why it's a podcast extra. I wanted to talk a little bit about this pay-per-view. And I'll be honest, especially because AEW does these like quarterly. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can have you come back on the next one.
Definitely.
Because I definitely ain't going to have this kind of conversation with Fanboy Dave. There's just no way. Yeah. But we'll have you come back and we'll do the same thing
again. I'm just at this point, you probably invited Fanboy Dave to watch pay-per-view before me. You know, and
no, I didn't invite him. He didn't even cross my mind, to be honest with you.
I was like, I think you owe me some brisket and that down too.
Here we go. It's a good thing I know how to make brisket. That's how I pay off all my friends.
He's good at handling the meat, people.
Do it. Yeah, I'm gonna just here. Have some of my meat. Put some of my meat in your mouth. You'll be fine.
There you go.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for Chris for being on the show. I really, really do appreciate it.
No, I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, man, it's been a great conversation. I definitely can't wait to do this again in the future. I want to have like I want to do one episode where we kind of have like a panel discussion.
Yeah,
you know, and I'd like to invite, you know, maybe five people one day where we can just have a discussion about a certain topic. I think that would be great. Just kind of ideas I have for future things. I still want to talk about topics like the Montreal Screwjob, for example, or the Monday Night Wars and things of that nature.
Katie Vick.
Yeah, let's talk about Katie Vick. Oh dear God. One of the worst angles.
No, I appreciate you inviting me over. Like I said, I listen to your podcast when it's released. Enjoy it so much. The banter that you have with Fanboy Dave.
Thank you.
I think you're doing a great job. As a pro wrestling fan, you know, it's great to hear feedback from other fans.
I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it. And I hope you, if you run into any other wrestling fans, you let them know about the podcast.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely appreciate that. Well, everybody, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning into this podcast extra. I know you're freaking out like, whoa, I didn't think they were going to have an episode this week. Well, we did. had a guest host on here with Chris Castillo. And again, thank you for being on the show. Listen, if you want to give any feedback about this episode, or if you just want to maybe ask us a question, or, you know, you want Fanboy Dave's number for some stupid reason, whatever it may be, I don't know. You can always email us at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. That's brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. You can find us on all the social medias. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. All you got to do is search Brothers of Discussion and you will find us on there. And if you have any show ideas, please feel free to hit us with those ideas. We'd love to look into that little grab bag and see what you, the listeners, might want to hear us talk about so that we can do that for you one day. But anyway, thank you again so much for tuning into the podcast. We will be back with another episode next week, and Fanboy Dave will be back annoying the hell out of me once again. So you'll get to hear that all over again. But thank you so much for being on the show. I am Rob T, and my guest host has been
Chris Castillo.
And that's right. And just for today, he is one of the Brothers of Discussion.